Hey y'all, my name is Eugene Perezin. I'm an iOS developer, and this is my podcast, Rambling iOS Developer. So, y'all probably have a lot of podcasts to listen to related to software development. Why would you listen to another one, or why would you subscribe to another one? And what this show is going to be all about. So I decided to create a space mainly for myself, and I hope other people would benefit from this space as well. So I decided to create a podcast where I would share something personal, something from my personal life that I don't normally share anywhere else, let's say on Twitter or LinkedIn or my YouTube channel. I do have my YouTube channel, so if you search for Eugene Berezin, Eugene Berezin, you'll be able to find my channel where I talk about iOS development and other technical stuff and career development. But it's definitely not a place where I talk about my personal life or my personal journey as a software developer. So I decided to create a personal space where I would talk to you guys, or more so talk at you guys, because I can't talk to you because I can't really see you or hear you or see your reaction, what you think about what I'm about to say. So more so talk at you about my personal journey as a software developer and just kind of ramble through different thought streams and different ideas and share with you what is on my mind. No, it's not a replacement for therapy. Or maybe it is. I don't know. I would say a podcast can be really therapeutic. So, let's get started with my story. Who am I? And how I got here, where I'm right now. So, iOS development is not my first career by any means. I was born and raised in Russia, in Moscow. And when I was in the middle school, I think I was like 12. I think it's middle school, like, but anyway, I was 12 and I was super into radio. And I wanted to be a radio anchor. I would listen to radio shows religiously. I would record them. I would call them to participate in a discussion. And sometimes I was 12 and my voice was really, really high-pitched. So sometimes people thought I was a female and I would roll with it. Because certain shows, they would disconnect you if they find out that you're 12. You're not supposed to call them. And it was pretty adult shows. So, my mom was totally on board with that. She was thinking like, okay, you're getting exposure. And you're getting exposure at home. If you have questions, I have answers. Or some of the answers. So, I'd rather you to learn stuff in the safe area, in the safe environment, at home. So, if you want to listen to those shows, as long as you get your homework done, and you go to bed in a reasonable time, or at least you get up in the morning and you're a functional student at school, and you don't have problems at school, I'm okay with that. So, I would call them and participate. And one day I decided, like, you know what? I really like radio shows, and I think I'm gonna be a radio anchor. Again, reminder, I was 12, so I decided to call a radio station, like really famous radio station in Moscow or in Russia at that time. So I'm calling them, somebody picked up the phone, and I go like, "Hey, are you looking for a radio anchor? I'm looking for a job. I would like to work on the radio." And the lady on the other end said like, "Yes, we're looking for an anchor. We're always welcome to new people, new talents. So what's your name, ma'am?" And I said, "Oh, my name is Eugene." And then she realized that I'm a lady, I'm a child. And she goes, "Okay, Eugene, hey, how old are you?" And I said, "Oh, I'm 12." And she goes, "Oh, that's nice. You probably go to school, right?" And I said, "Yes, I go to school." And then she goes, "You know what? I really want to hire you as a radio anchor. I think you can do it. However, there's a little problem. I can't really hire you before you finish school." And then I said, "But I can do radio after school, after I'm done with my homework." And then the lady said, "No, Eugene, it's not really, it doesn't really work that way. So you probably have to finish your school first. And how about that one? You finish your school and then you call me back, and then we'll figure it out from there. Does it sound good?" And I said, "Yeah, that sounds good." 8 years later, I never called him back. I never called him back because technology was crazy and new stuff and the internet and the mobile apps and web apps and whatnot. And I was totally fascinated by a totally different field. I was fascinated by Russian Sign Language. And I started learning at about like 12, 13 years old. I started learning Russian Sign Language. And then my family adopted my brother, who is deaf. So I knew of Russian Sign Language. My brother is deaf. I was going to a local church, Baptist church, and I would participate in the ministry as a sign language interpreter there. I was totally involved in deaf world and Russian Sign Language world. I would go to local meetups, like with other, where the local deaf community would do meetups and socialize and stuff like that. I would go there every week. And then after I graduated my high school, I decided to go to college. And for my college education, because I was so involved in the deaf community and the special education world, I decided to major in psychology, in clinical psychology. In clinical psychology that was specialized on special education. Back in Russia, we would call it special psychology. I haven't heard that term here in the States, but it's something that we call it there, special psychology. It was a subdivision of a clinical psychology. So I graduated with a master's degree in clinical psychology. And when I got into my college, I quickly realized that I can't get a job after I graduated the college without the experience. Nobody will hire me. So I started getting all the experience that I could. I started my private practice under so-called supervision, or supervision in a way. It was really small private practice. I didn't have a lot of clients by any means, but I consult people and I would get, my supervisor help. And then I started working at the mental health center for children, or development center for children, as a psychologist. And I would do family therapy there. And there I have way closer supervision from more senior therapists and psychologists. So it was quite fascinating. And I was still doing sign language interpreting on the side, so I had two jobs. This is how I was able to pay for my education. I was working and paying for my education, so it worked out well. I was really fascinated by mental health and counseling and psychology. I really, really loved it. So later on, I decided, when I graduated college, I think a couple years later, I decided that I don't want to live in Russia anymore. It's not really my environment. It's not really my place to be. I can't really relate to people there. I can't really relate to the culture there. I decided to move to another country. And that country just happened to be the United States of America. And here, I got really, really close to, at some point, I got really, really close to behavioral health and mental health counseling. And I was closely working with other counselors and social workers, and I was doing case management for a while. And before that, I was working in special education school with children with autism. Absolutely amazing experience. I was working with teenagers who were experiencing homelessness in Chicago. Also, like, really, really tremendous experience. But after I kind of proved myself that in another country I can use my education in a clinical psychology field, in a counseling field, maybe not to the fullest as I did it in Russia, because there are different regulations and different requirements to call yourself a counselor or a psychologist. And for example, in Russia, a psychologist is someone with master's degree in psychology, and they can be a psychologist. In America, you have to have PsyD or PhD. You have to have doctoral degree to be a psychologist. So I couldn't really call myself a psychologist, but I could call myself a case manager or a counselor. I totally could be a counselor, and I was a counselor at some point. So I was about to pursue my license as a counselor, and then I realized I did a little market analysis, and I realized that, like, hey, I'm about to spend a bunch of money on this license and go through a lot of barriers to be underpaid, to be broke. And I decided to try something different. And this is where my career switch happened, and I got into QA. Got my first job in the QA. I took online boot camp, or like online courses, and I was able to land a job, like, very easily as a QA engineer, and it was a lot of fun. When I was getting into QA, I was thinking, you know what, I'm really not technical, so I'm probably not gonna do, like, test automation and stuff like that. I'm probably gonna do just manual QA. But when I got my first job, I started doing test automation at the get-go. or try to get as close as possible to test automation as at the get-go. And then one day or few jobs later, I ended up at iOS team. And I had a challenge to automate, to write automated testing, automated tests for iOS application. And I started using XUI test because my approach was, we always do native, we always go native. If it is like JavaScript, we go native. If it is mobile, we go native. There were tools like Appium and things like that, but Appium was really popular back then, but I tried to install it. I failed. It didn't work. Installation was not intuitive. And I said, you know what? I'm not doing it. I'm doing everything native. I'm using XUI test. I'm done. And I started learning Swift. What was interesting, when I started with UI test automation for XUI test, with XUI test and with iOS development, there were no resources. Like, there was a video from WWDC when they introduced XUI test. And there is a guy who was talking about XUI test a lot. So I watched some of his presentations just to kind of get the idea. And then it was just trial and error. And I later on, I decided to, like, you know what? A lot of people struggle with UI test, so why don't I just share it on my channel and kind of showcase my work, what I do with XUI test. And then as I was learning XUI test, I started liking mobile development more and more and diving into mobile development more and more. And there was a turning point in my career. I was on a contract, and my contract was about to expire. And what I typically do, if I'm not sure, 100%, sure, or if my employer is not telling me like 2 months in advance, like, hey Eugene, we're going to extend your contract, then what I normally do, I look for a job. So, and I found another job, and that job with the web, with Angular and with ProTracker, and it was in Colorado. So I went to Colorado for a month for training, and I was supposed to work from home. Work from home part was really nice, but during my training, I realized I really hate it. After working with the MacBook and XUI test, I realized that I really hate web test automation. I hate Selenium, and I hate ProTracker, and I have this. I hate this technology. I want to go back and do mobile test automation or mobile development. And I was really frustrated. And at that point, I decided, you know what? I don't want to be a senior software developer in test or SDET anymore, or, you know, whatever you call it. Senior test automation engineer. I want to be an iOS developer. And I started focusing really, really closely on iOS development. I took my job back. So when I quit, they couldn't find a replacement because, frankly, if you know XUI test and UI test automation or native test automation with iOS, it is really rare and valuable skill to have in the market. So they couldn't find replacement. They took me back. And after that, I started doing more. I started picking up some of the bugs and small features and stuff like that. I was helping another startup with their mobile apps and stuff like that for really trivial compensation, more so like for the experience rather than for like compensation. I was helping them to go public and to attract more clients and to do like networking events, meetups before COVID, of course, meetups and things like that. I organized meetup at my job, at my place of employment for that startup. So we have really good working relationship. So, but yeah, after that, I started focusing on iOS development because I just realized I don't enjoy really test automation as much. And I'm here right now. I'm iOS developer at Nordstrom. And I really like it. I really like my job. I really like iOS development. It's still exciting for me. And I can't wait to see what I'm going to do next with my career and with my life. So we're about on 20 minutes right now. And I think I'm going to end this episode. I hope you liked it. And again, this podcast is, again, something really personal. Absolutely not structured in any way. So I may start talking about pandas, animal pandas, and ended up with SwiftUI and why SwiftUI is good for pandas. And it doesn't make sense to anyone else but me. And also I can share my stories, do a lot of storytelling. If you into storytelling and personal is that kind of stuff. So please subscribe. I enjoyed this episode with you guys. And thank you so much for watching or listening. Gosh, I'm such a YouTuber. I will talk at you in another episode. So let me know what you think. Bye.